This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. On Thursday, more political debate, this time between Vice President Joe Biden and Congressman Paul Ryan, as prepare to meet in Danville, Kentucky.
Now, you may think the media more than adequately chewed over last week's Romney-Obama debate. And while that may be true, there were two little moments that haven't really been highlighted, and maybe they should have. First, there was this from President Obama.
Social Security is structurally sound. It's going to have to be tweaked the way it was by Ronald Reagan and Democratic Speaker Tip O'Neill.
And then this. Oh, sorry, Anthony, I'm taking your line. Live radio, everyone.
And this from Mitt Romney.
If I come in and lay down a piece of legislation and say it's my way or the highway, I don't get a lot done. What I do is the same way that Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan worked together some years ago.
Some years ago? Well, our guest says those misty-eyed remembrances of a begrudging but functional friendship between former House Speaker Tip O'Neill and President Ronald Reagan obscure some fundamental truths about how Washington today is nothing like that of old. And he should know, because Thomas P. O'Neill III is former Lieutenant Governor of Massachusetts and Tip O'Neill's son. He joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston, Mr. O'Neill.
Meghna, it's nice to be with you and Anthony. Thanks very much.
It's a pleasure to have you, and please excuse the fact that Anthony and I just behaved as if we were debating each other while reading that script. But
just a little bit of stumble.
You wrote in the New York Times blog, in the campaign blog section, in a post entitled Frenemies, a Love Story, about your father's, the true nature of his relationship with President Reagan. So remind us how, in his more honest moments, your father really viewed Reagan and his policies.
Well, first of all, Meghna, let me tell you that, you know, there really is this misty aura and belief or mythology that my father and President Reagan were the closest of friends, differed only on ideology and policy, and after a drink or two at night, they could get together. The fact of the matter was that the relationship was far more complicated than that. They were two men who had come from two different ideologies, two different geographies, two different, even though both Irish, two different religious upbringings, but basically came from the poorer side of the tracks. My father could not understand how Ronald Reagan, after his formative professional years, could wind up philosophically where he did, and I think Reagan perceived and held the same about my dad. Both were very strong in their beliefs, but also they had this one thing in common, and that is when it came to the best interests of America, they learned that politics is the art of compromise. They sat down and they did compromise.
Well, as an example of how deeply Reagan and your father differed on the issues, we have a little bit of tape of Tip O'Neill here. It's a March 1984 C-SPAN interview in which he's talking about how federal programs such as Social Security and Medicare really helped put the middle class on a secure footing, and how he basically had dedicated his career to protecting those programs from Republican reformers such as Reagan. So let's listen.
And when they say to me, you want to turn back the clock? Turn back the clock to what? To the days when you didn't have medicine? To the days when you didn't have health insurance? When the days when the breadwinner of the family couldn't educate his family, couldn't go out for recreation with them? Saw them one day, no, I don't want to turn back the clock.
And as you were saying, Mr. O'Neill, it seems as if, you know, Reagan mirrored those same feelings about the causes that your father passionately believed in. But then again, they weren't chummy by any stretch of the imagination. But we found a piece of tape from a 1986 dinner honoring Speaker O'Neill in which Ronald Reagan was the keynote speaker. And here's a moment where he talks about what an honor it was for Reagan to call Tip O'Neill his friend.
I think the fact of our friendship is testimony to the political system that we're part of and the country we live in. A country which permits two not so shy and not so retiring Irishmen to have it out on the issues rather than on each other or their countrymen.
That seems like another Washington to me in this day and age. So what allowed the two of them to, on occasion, work through their differences and get policy made?
I think the respectability that each one had for the other as individuals. Two individuals with personal ideologies and philosophies, obviously. But both put their country ahead of their personal beliefs and their party loyalty. And that was really very, very important. behind closed doors, and frankly, in public during campaigns, the Republicans held my dad up in ridicule. And the same can be said about the debate on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives, where, conversely, the Democrats held the president up in ridicule. The fact of the matter is, both held their ground and gave in when America needed people to understand the compromise had to take hold.
And the ridicule could sometimes be very cutting. I mean, you write about how your father was not pleased to be compared, in Ronald Reagan's words, to Pac-Man, quote, a round thing that gobbles up money. And on the other hand, your father often used to say about Reagan, love the sinner, hate the sin.
That's right.
But I wonder, you touch upon this point about ultimately, whether they agreed or disagreed, they still held the other's view as legitimate, you know, like the other party had the right to hold the view. And it seems to me that politics today in its most ignoble moments is the pure pursuit of delegitimizing the other side.
I think there's some of that. I also think that 24/7 news coverage on both sides has halted the opportunity for individuals, members of Congress, men and women, to, after 5 o'clock at night and the day's work is done, go out and socialize, have a drink, and learn about one another firsthand. That's been prevented. I think two other breakpoints took place. In 94, 10 years after the experience of Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan, you had Newt Gingrich get elected in a landslide, which altered the tone of the Congress of the United States, and more geared to the 24/7 news coverage. Mm. And more recently, you've had the Tea Partiers where they're, I think, unsettling regimen of not allowing their members of Congress, the people they elect, to sit down with the other side of the aisle, nor to understand the politics is, in fact, the art of compromising and moving country ahead, but to hold your firm ground.
We've just got a couple seconds to go, but I wonder if you think all this misty-eyed nostalgia for the relationship your father and Ronald Reagan has or had, does it mean that maybe things could change in Washington?
I would like to think that the lesson of Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan, two individuals with very strong feet on the ground, understanding who they were and what they wanted to achieve in public life, it was real and justified. But you can have those beliefs and work with one another to make sure that there is progress taking place.
Thomas,
that's the lesson of Tip and Ronald Reagan.
Thomas P. O'Neill is the CEO of O'Neill & Associates. He's former lieutenant governor of the state of Massachusetts and, of course, the son of former House Speaker and Massachusetts Congressman Tip O'Neill. Mr. O'Neill, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so very much for having me.
And that's our show today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.